Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. We are continuing on in our study of a useful vessel. Lord willing, next Sunday will be our last of this study. I trust that it won't be our last study of being a useful vessel. I pray that we would continue to study as to how we can be a more faithful and a more useful vessel to the ministry of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21 says, "If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Through this study, we have seen that a new man is renewed in knowledge. In order for us to grow in Christ's likeness, in order for us to be like Jesus, we need to have our mindset changed. Too often we are thinking the way of the world, and the way of the world does not think like Jesus, and it takes us a bit to get out of that rut of worldly thinking. Our progression to be as Christ is the process of our mindset being changed. It is learning to see sin from God's perspective, and as a result, putting off sin through confession and repentance. When we see sin the way God sees it, then we will grieve over that sin. And when we grieve over that sin, we will confess that sin. When we confess that sin, we'll repent of it, turn away from it, and go in the right direction as opposed to in the direction of sin. But our mindset has to be changed. We need to come under the understanding, what does God say about sin? And take on His definition of sin. But we also see that it's learning to see God as the Bible describes Him. What an amazing reality that the Bible tells us all about God that God wants us to know. I've often said it's God's love letter to us. And you think back in the day when you write letters to each other and when you're dating, right? You would express your love for each other. If it was a long distance relationship, there would be things in that letter that would be helping your loved one to get to know you. That's the Bible. God wants us to know Him. He wants us to know what He has done for us. He wants us to know specifically that He sent His Son Jesus to die for our sins, to pay our punishment, because we know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what an amazing reality that God would send His Son as a gift to pay the punishment that we deserved because of our sin. So we see that it's learning to see who God is, what He is like, what He likes, what He dislikes. The Bible tells us. And as a result, it is learning to put on those Christ-like qualities that the Bible tells us all about Jesus. And we do that by imitating Christ. We're in the process of looking at the practice of a useful vessel. The practice of a useful vessel. How do we practice our Christian lives? How do we go through and practice usefulness to Christ? Today we'll be looking at Christ, our putting on Christ in our prayer life. Why don't we read this morning, chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, then we'll pray. And then we'll dig in here. Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 2, it says, "Continue in prayer, watch in the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." Let us commit these words to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we once again come to You, Lord. We once again come asking that You would help us. We need Your help, Lord. We need to be changed. we need to grow in Christ-likeness. Lord, help us to submit to You. Lord, please open the eyes of our understanding that we could behold, that we could understand these precious truths from Your Word. Help us to be encouraged. Help us to be challenged. Lord, convict us where we need to change. And Lord, help us to humble ourselves before You and be changed. Lord, guide us now, we pray. May we worship You through this time of listening to Your Holy Spirit as He proclaims His Word to all of our hearts. And please give me the words to say. Lord, may Your will be done. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're looking at our usefulness in our prayer life. The challenge for us is to look distinctly like Christ in our prayer lives. What did Jesus look like? When we look through the Bible, when we look through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see Christ often praying, going up in the mountain to pray. He taught about prayer. But we want to look distinctly like Christ in our prayer lives. So when we consider our usefulness to Christ, what role does prayer play in it? Do you see prayer as effective and worthwhile? Or is it painful and seemingly a waste of time? And unfortunately, it seems as though I don't think we're anything different than over the course of history. But prayer, I think, is such an, I know for a fact, it's such an undervalued tool in the Christian toolbox. We don't use it like we should because we don't see its effectiveness. You use something you see is worthwhile. Prayer is work. There's effort involved. And we work for something that we see brings back dividends, don't we? But if we don't see prayer bringing back dividends, if we don't see the effectiveness, the results of prayer, why do it? Well, God commands it. Well, submitting to God's command often for us only takes us so far. But if we don't see the results, it's easy to give up. And so I want to challenge us here this morning that these results are there. But let's go to God His way. So a personal question, what does your prayer life look like? What does your prayer life look like? And as I stand before you, so frequently I catch myself saying, Lord, forgive me. I'm not praying like I should. I'm not praying like I should. And ultimately it comes down to this. I never pray as I should faithfully enough. I can always pray more. I can always do better. And that should be all of our mindset, that where we are at, let's seek to do, pray more. Pray more effectively. Pray more biblically. Let's seek to take that next step, and just always be striving to be more biblical in our prayer lives. Our goal in this study is to consider how we are to be a useful vessel to the Master. We're called upon to be faithful, doing His will and promoting His cause. Colossians 3:17, the previous chapter, we've looked at this at length. That whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, so that covers everything that we do, all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Again, this verse qualifies how we are to be able to be a useful vessel at home and at work by how we pray. We are to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus with an attitude of gratitude, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. So today, let's consider the biblical characteristics and the biblical content of our prayer lives, as we see here in Colossians chapter 4. So first, Roman numeral 1, let's consider the characteristics of our prayer life. What should be the characteristics of our prayer life? What does Paul say here in verse 2? He says, continuing in prayer, watch in the same with thanksgiving. We see three points, three characteristics here in this verse. What are the characteristics in your own prayer life? What we want to do is we want to see our characteristics that we are exhibiting in our own prayer lives, and we want to see what the Bible says, and we want to see if they line up. And obviously, where we don't line up with Scripture, who needs to change? We do. So we want to be biblical in our prayer lives. We want to have biblical characteristics. So if there's areas where change is needed, let's change. God knows best. Just to begin with here, understand that prayer is not getting God to do what we want Him to do. Prayer is bringing us to the point where we do what He wants to do. Prayer is not getting God to do our will. Prayer is getting us to do God's will, bringing us in line with God's will. God is not Santa Claus or some genie in the bottle that we rub Him just right to get our wishes. That's not prayer. But oftentimes that's how He's used. That's not biblical. We need to understand, where do we come and submit to Christ and submit to His way in order to please Him and see prayer being effective? So we see here the first characteristic is to be faithful in prayer. Our faithfulness. It says continue in prayer. To continue in prayer is to be faithful or courageously persistent. This speaks of diligence and the devotion to prayer. Diligence in and devotion to prayer. Prayer is an evidence of dependence upon God. We sang the hymn, "I need Thee every hour." Do we realize that we truly need God? Too often times, it's all easy for us to do. Human nature says, "Oh, pull yourselves up by your own bootstraps, and you can do whatever you want." And to some degree, there's truth to that, isn't there? People are successful in this life without God, aren't they? As far as they're concerned. Ultimately, we believe that God's in sovereign control, and we believe that God allows whatever happens in life, we believe He allows it to take place. And He gives gifts to people to excel in ways and in different ways than others. And tragedy, He allows tragedy to come into people's lives. God's in sovereign control. So no one truly is operating outside of God's provision and God's care. Even though we may feel as if I did things my way, Frank Sinatra. But biblically, we are not to have that mentality. Biblically, we are called upon to be weak before God. We are to be foolish before God. Because we are to be dependent upon God. He is to be our strength. He is to be our wisdom. That is success when we yield to Him. Consider what the Bible says about the early church. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued steadfastly. The same word, Greek word, that is used for in Colossians 4:2, that says continue. Okay. The early church, they continued steadfastly in prayer. Chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." There's continuance, there's perseverance, there's faithfulness. Romans chapter 12, Paul calls the church to be rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Prayer is a challenge. Anybody find it just easy to pray all the time? It's a challenge. When do you find yourself praying most all the time? When you need something. When you are dependent. Right? God wants us to be dependent all the time. If we pray when we're dependent, then we need to be dependent all the time. Our faithfulness is dependent upon our dependence. All right? God wants us to be dependent. Rejoicing in hope, praying, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Paul is calling us to stick to it. Prayer is challenging, but he's saying don't give up. Realize that this is one of the greatest tools that we have as a child of God. This is a powerful tool that we have. We get to enter the presence of God and commune with Him. What an amazing reality. As Dr. Griffith was here last month, he was talking about the fact that we can enter the very throne room of grace. and petition our Creator, who knows us intimately, who knows us more than we know ourselves. We can go to the all-powerful God and talk to Him, commune with Him. What an amazing reality. We get to do this. It's privilege. What an awesome God we worship. To the church at Thessalonica, Paul says these words, very familiar. Three words: pray without ceasing. It's a command. Be instant in prayer is a command. Pray without ceasing is a command. It's a command not that we should do nothing but pray. It's not as if we are to be hunkered down on our knees and just praying constantly when we don't do anything else ever. But we are to live a life of prayer. Prayer is worship. Prayer is communication. It's communion with God. Are you communing with God? Are you fellowshipping with God moment by moment as you go through this life? If we are, what's going to happen? Lord, help me in this situation to honor You. What do I do here? What do I do there? It'll be seeking His will to help us. Lord, what do You want me to do? We'll be in tune with Him. And the decisions that we'll be making will be in accordance with His will as we're praying, seeking His will. He will answer. And we can see effectiveness in our prayer lives. We'll see answers to prayer. We don't pray because we don't see answers to prayer. God just doesn't... He's silent. You know, and we don't understand why. God wants us to be faithful, persevere, be persistent in prayer. Our praying should be as normal as breathing, fellow Christian. We should look at it as a lifeline. If you stop breathing, you're dead. We should look at prayer the same way. To the church at Philippi, Paul gives this command in Philippians 4:6. He says, be careful for nothing. He says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It's a great formula of praying. Don't be anxious for anything. Pastor Ray used to say something to the effect of, if it's important enough to worry about, it should be important enough to pray about. Right? We see here Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Very simply, prayer is worship. Worship God. Everything by prayer and supplication. That supplication is being a suppliant. It's having an attitude of humility. With thanksgiving, being thankful to God. There's these attitudes of worshiping God, being humble before Him, and being thankful, and then we come to the point where we let our requests be made known unto God. That's the biblical formula for praying. Worship God. Submit. Surrender. Not my will, let Thine be done. Be thankful. Attitude of gratitude. Lord, whatever You decide is best, I'm going to be thankful for it. I'm thankful for what You have done. I'm thankful for what You will do. Whole different attitude when we come to God this way. Then when we come to ask Him for something, it's not going to be clothed in pride. It's going to be clothed in humility. That's God's desire for us. Frequently answers to prayer take time, don't they? You pray. If we prayed and it just happened, how would you ever stop praying? You'd be, hey, get out of here. I'm praying. You know, answers are coming. This is great. That's not reality, is it? Why? Does God sit up there twiddling His thumbs, watching with His big grin on His face, saying, oh, look at this. This guy's suffering miserably because I'm not answering his prayer. Oh, boy. Is that our God? Oftentimes we look at a delay, an answer to prayer, as a delay, as if God's just being silent. We start feeling as if, I don't know, we make up, we let our imagination run wild as to why God's not
God's not answering me. He must not like me. He must not love me. And then a lot of times we can draw those conclusions. And are those conclusions ever right? Can we ever say God doesn't love us? Never. But if we're not careful, we can say that, well, because He's not answering me, He must not love me. And where does that take us? Then we give up. We don't pray. We need to understand God's timing is always perfect. Our clock does not operate on the same clock as God. His timing is perfect. And with this in mind, let's also understand that His delays are not necessarily a dismissal of our prayer, but the delays are purposeful. You get that? We must understand that His delays are not necessarily a dismissal of our prayer, but the delay has purpose. It has purpose. Will you persevere in your prayer life knowing that the delay of God is purposeful? If you think, gosh, just dismiss my prayer, He's not even listening, why pray? Why persevere in your prayer life? But if you know that God's delays are purposeful, that His timing is perfect, if we're relying upon the attributes of God, who God is, what the Bible says about our God, will we stick to it then? Will you stay under? Will you endure, as we're learning in Sunday school? Will you endure? Will you stay under that burden, if you will? God's not answering my prayer. Well, there's a good reason for it. And His timing is always perfect, and His time is not right yet. But it will be. If we pray according to the will of God, we know that God cannot say no according to His will. But He has to say yes if it's according to His will, don't we? Beautiful reality is that when we pray according to God's will, we can expect He will say yes. It's in His time, though. God will often delay the answer to increase our faith and devotion to Him. If God were to answer us every time we pray just like that, how would we grow? We wouldn't mature. Would we? We would stagnate in our faith. Oh, I just got to go to God and He'll give me what I want. But then we act like a little kid. Then if we don't get our way right away, then we throw a temper tantrum, right? Because we're not growing in our faith. We're not learning to be patient and enduring and self-control. Warren Wiersbe writes these words, "As we continue in prayer, our own hearts are prepared for the answer that God will give." You hear that? As we continue in prayer, this is with considering the delay of God. If God is delaying and we are operating on the mindset that God's delays are purposeful and that His timing is always perfect, then as we continue in prayer, our hearts are prepared for the answer that God will give us. We find ourselves growing in grace even before His answer comes. Will you be more prepared knowing that if God is, that God has a purpose to His delay, that God's timing is perfect, He's desiring to work in us something, and that God knows what is best, and He desires to work in me what is best, then if He delays, as long as He delays and I'm persevering through it, I'm staying faithful, praying, coming before the Lord God, when He gives me the answer, my heart is going to say, thank you, God. This is right. As opposed to being all disheveled about the fact that, come on, I never get what I want. You know? Faithfulness in prayer. Then he goes on to say, continue in prayer and watch in the same. Watch in prayer. Be watchful. Be faithful. Be watchful. The word watch carries the idea of staying awake. One thing that I struggle with, get up in the morning, house is quiet and it's dark. I just got my light in my cubby hole. I'm just there working, reading the scripture. when I pray, I close my eyes. It's not very hard to. Sorry, Lord. I'm the only one that happens to, right? The fact that you guys are chuckling, I know you guys relate.
Be watchful. Stay alert. How productive can we be if we're sleeping and praying?
Now, one thing that I have found to be just, I love it. I by God's grace. All because of Him. Just the nature of the pastorate. Just the nature of working with people and crying with those and laughing with those and getting to know people and all the beautiful things that are in your lives. There's times I have sleepless nights. Well, what do I do during those times? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God. Right? I can either worry about it or I can pray about it. And the beautiful thing is that it has become more of a habit for me. With repetition becomes a habitual process. I wake up and it's like I just start praying. Do you realize what a blessing that is? Now that's not toot my own horn, that's not pat myself on the back, that's boy, Lord's done everything for it. But the reality is, the Lord's showing me that there's value in prayer. And instead of worrying about it, I can take it to Him. And I can unload my burden to Him and say, Lord, You take it. You know what's best. I can't do this. I got enough gray hairs on my head and I'm still young. I need Your help. I don't want all those wrinkles yet. Please, Lord, help me. The reality is God says, I want to give you peace. I want to take this. I want to bear the burden. I'm strong enough. When we go before God and say, Lord, I'm weak. I don't know. I'm foolish. I don't know enough. I don't know. I need Your wisdom, Lord. Help me. Be my strength. Be my wisdom. Lord, show me what to do. Show me how I can come along beside this person and encourage them as they go through this, whatever it is in their life. Help me to encourage them. Help me to be wise and give them godly counsel that will encourage them to do what is right, as opposed to leading them astray. Oh, boy, it's not easy when you think about the fact that we very easily lead people astray, and that worries me to death. I don't want to do that. Lord, help me. We need to be watchful in prayer, alert. We need to be alert. And that alert, being alert, think of someone who's on guard, who's on post, and who's on guard watching, scoping out the enemy. It's the idea, isn't it? Why? Why is it so important that we're awake when we pray? We're alert, on guard. What's so important about that? Temptations. The devil wants to, he's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to take your imaginations and he wants to feed doubt and temptation in your lives to get you to worry and get you focused on yourself and get your eyes off of Christ. We need to be alert. We need to be alert. Be on guard. Because fathers, husbands, guess what? You're on post. The enemy wants to take and crush your marriage. He wants to crush your family. He wants to ruin you. And he gets you to get down in the dumps. What's going to happen? It makes it that much harder on your wife. It makes it that much harder on mom. God wants you, dad, father, husband. He wants you to be leading that home. Be alert. Be watchful in prayer. Consider in the Garden of Gethsemane, as Jesus is going to pray the night in which He was betrayed, the night before He died. Consider what He says. He takes the 11 disciples And then he takes Peter, James, and John, and they goes a little bit further. And what does he say to his disciples? Watch. Same word. Watch and pray. Why? Remember? Watch and pray so that you don't enter into temptation. What does praying do? What does being watchful in prayer do? It helps to keep you from temptation. It helps to keep you from succumbing to temptation. It's a powerful reality. It's a powerful reality. Jesus tells the disciples that watchfulness in prayer was a sure way of not being overcome by temptation. Being watchful is being on guard, knowing that the enemy is lurking. Our flesh is weak. We need to come to grips with that, especially men. We need to come to grips with that, the fact that our flesh is weak. We are weak. We need the strength of God. We need His help. And prayer is often so difficult, and it takes energy and desire. We need to ever keep before us the spiritual dangers that we face, and that in and of ourselves we will fail. If I try to do this life, when I look back on my life and I look back on the John's decisions without God, I see wreckage. But by God's grace, I look back on my life and I see those times where I was resting in God, I see success. What does that tell you? Who gets pat on the back there? God does, because it was His wisdom by His grace. We must watch and pray. We must be faithful. We must be watchful. Then we, number three, letter C, we must be thankful. Be thankful in prayer. Having the attitude of thankfulness when we go before the throne of grace helps to keep us from the entitlement mentality. I deserve this. I want this new. You know what would be great as a pastor going on visitation? I mean, I could go so much faster if I had a Lamborghini, right? And in the snow time, if I had like this Humvee, I mean, I could go anywhere. I could just, boy, I could get there. Lord, I need that. Give me, give me, give me. I deserve that, right? We can have this mentality and we can justify why this should be God's will. But yet, the reality is God knows best. And it's not coming to God with our will, it's coming to God in order to submit to His will. And that, I think that's one of the biggest challenges that we have. But oftentimes we come to God not with a thankful mentality, we come to God with an entitled mentality. God, this is what I deserve. And what we end up doing is we redefine our needs and wants, don't we? The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory." There we go. "But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Right? Okay. I need a Humvee. I need a Lamborghini. Wait. Is that true? No, but that's what I want. Oftentimes we replace, redefine our need. It's really a want. And we deceive ourselves. And justify it being something. Oh, I need that. And I can't live without it. I probably couldn't live with it. Philippians 4:6 again, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." The attitude of gratitude. There are two aspects in this attitude of prayer. Gratitude for what God has done and gratitude for what God will do. Do we have that mentality? When we go before God, are we thankful for what He has done? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." The mercies of God. Have you ever stopped to think of the mercies of God? What has God done for you? How has He blessed you? Right there. The greatest way that this is the greatest mercy of God. That He sent His Son, Jesus, to be so merciful unto us to take upon himself the punishment that we deserve. That's mercy. That is amazing mercy. And the fact that we, as children of God, have come to him and by faith taken Christ as our Savior, forgiving us of our sin. What an amazing mercy of God that is. There should never be a time that we enter the throne room of God and we're not thankful. There should never be a time based upon just this simple reality that he has given us life and his Son. We should never go before God with this "I deserve" mentality. What do we deserve? The wages of sin is death. What do we deserve? We deserve God's judgment. Because of his mercy, he saved us. The blood of Jesus Christ. What an awesome reality. Based upon what God has done, we should be thankful. Right? And as we come into the throne room of God with thankfulness, knowing what God has done, did it end here? Is this the last mercy? Is this the last blessing that you've received as a child of God? Not in your life, is it? Daily, you see the wonderful reality that God is blessing you in such amazing ways. God is so good to us. So we consider what God has done. And based upon the faithfulness of God in the past, what can you know to be absolutely true moving forward? If God has been faithful in my past, what does that say about my future? Does God change? No, he's been faithful there. He will be faithful there. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Thank you, Lord, for what you will do. Be faithful in your prayer lives. Be watchful in your prayer lives. Be thankful. Notice the result of biblical prayer if you were to look in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Let's read these together. Verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding," or surpasses, it transcends all understanding, "it shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." It says, be careful for nothing, because when you go to God His way, He gives you peace. You have nothing to be anxious about, because He gives you transcendent peace. That doesn't make any sense. How on earth can I be peaceful when the walls are crashing down around me? How can I do this? God says, you do things my way, things work best. And you can have peace in the time of storm. Peter walking on the water, as long as he kept his eyes focused on Christ, what happened? He walked on water. Why did he sink? Whoa, boy! Lost sight of Christ. Dropped like he had cement shoes on. We do that. But just as Peter said, "Lord, save me!" What happened? Christ reached out and, "Come on, Peter. Keep your eyes on me. Let's go." Be thankful. God gives peace when we go to God His way. When we pray with humility, selflessness, and thankful, we can be filled with the stabilizing truths of God. I would encourage you to take the time later on to look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 17. You can see Paul's prayer, a wonderful prayer that's filled with just such precious truths as he prays for the Colossian church, and he encourages them with truth upon truth upon truth. I encourage you to read over that and meditate upon it. What does it say?
But consider Roman numeral 2. Consider the content. What should be the content of our prayer lives? We want to be a useful vessel for Christ, don't we? We want to be useful in His ministry. We want to promote the cause of Christ. How can we do that? Obviously, I trust we see that as we're faithful, as we're watchful, and as we're thankful, boy, those characteristics of prayer put us in a position of peace. Helps us to think straight. Help us to be in a position where our emotions aren't driving us. God is leading us. But now consider, what is the content of our prayer? We want to promote the cause of Christ. We want to be a useful vessel to Christ. We want to do things that honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. What should be the content of our prayer? Well, what is the content of Paul's prayer? He says these words, "With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." Consider first, pray for an opportunity. Do you pray for an opportunity? I think oftentimes we go through life and we fail to pray for things. And for some strange reason, I do it myself, we wonder why we don't get those things. Well, we didn't pray for them. Okay. Notice what Paul... Consider Paul. Just who was Paul? Probably the greatest missionary ever. Probably one of the greatest preachers ever to walk the face of the earth. This man had everything going right, didn't he? Well, do you know where he's writing this letter from? Chained to a Roman guard. He was in jail for his faith. He's saying, "I need you to pray for me." Mighty Paul saying, "Pray for me." Not out of pride. Out of humility, knowing his own weakness. Paul, he valued the prayer of others. He understood his own heart and his weakness. 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says, "I am the chief of sinners." I am, present tense. When he wrote Timothy, the first letter to Timothy, it was later on in his ministry. He's at the end of his ministry and he's saying, "I am the chief of sinners. I'm the greatest sinner right now." That's how he looked upon himself. He says, I haven't made it. I'm still the greatest of sinners. He understood his weakness. But look at what... So he says, "I need help. I need you to pray for me." Do you realize each of us need each other? Pray for each other. Pray for me. I need help. Do you need help? If you're thinking straight, yes. You'll say, "Yes, I need help. I can't do this on my own. I can't be the wife that God wants me to be. I can't be the child that God wants me to be. I can't be the husband or father. I can't be the mother. I can't be the best employee," as we've just looked through the roles of usefulness. "I can't be these things in and of myself. I need help. I need God. I need your prayer to help me. You need my prayer to help you." We come together. He says this is the content of Paul's prayer. This is what he was asking for. That God would open unto us a door of utterance. Paul, you're in jail. Who do you have to talk to? Well, he had a captive audience. The guy who was holding him captive was his captive audience, right? Paul was a powerful testimony in jail. He said, the royal palace, people are getting saved in Caesar's household. Why? Because Paul was praying for opportunity to witness. Paul witnessed to possibly Nero. Paul witnessed to King Agrippa and to Festus and to the different, a couple different Caesars. He was able to stand before them and proclaim the mysteries of Christ, the gospel of Christ. Why? Because he prayed for an opportunity. We see selflessness of his prayer by what he asked them to pray for. Notice what's missing here.
let's put ourselves in this position. Here I am, chained. I'm in jail. Not a fun situation. It's not the kind of jail system we have today. All right? This was pretty nasty stuff that they were dealing with. If I were to be in jail because I was preaching Christ, what would you guys be praying for me about? A release, right? Get him out of there. I would. That's natural for us to pray. Remove him from there. Why didn't Paul ask that he would be released? Why wasn't that what he was praying, what he was asking that people would pray about? Because he knew that that's where God wanted him to be. So right where God has me, give me an opportunity to preach the word. The best thing for us to do is pray that God would use us where we are at, despite the circumstances. As a servant, a doulos of Jesus Christ, he was responsive not to his own will, but to the will of his master. He wanted what Christ wanted. Do you want what Christ wants? He wanted for Christ to be pleased, to be honored and magnified. Remember his purpose for living in Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul passionately shared the gospel with others. He faithfully ministered God's word. He wanted others to be set free by the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's in chains. He wants everybody else to be free spiritually. He was free. He was more free than the Roman soldiers that were there who were free. Because even though he was chained physically, he was free spiritually when those he was ministering to were chained spiritually. That was his mindset. I am free. I want others to be free. He wanted people to know the master that he knew. He wanted Christ, what Christ wanted. Consider in Matthew 8, the leper that came to Jesus. And what is he saying? Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, Jesus, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And this is where we come to the point, if we don't pray for an opportunity, can we expect an opportunity to come? Would the leper have been healed had he not asked for it? Believe that oftentimes we don't see the manifestation of the will of God because we never pray for it. The leper said, Lord, if you will, if you desire, I know you're able. Will you heal me? And Jesus says, yes, I will. Be thou clean. This should change how we pray. This should transform how we pray. Lord, are you willing to save that soul? And what's the answer to that always? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When I pray and I say, Lord, if you're willing, I know you're willing, you are able, please save that soul. I pray for people's souls, trusting God's going to save them. Not everybody gets saved because of their own choice. But I'm still going to pray for someone that God will save them. I know he's not willing that any should perish. So I'm trusting that this guy, God will save their soul. He will give their heart right. But I must be faithful, I must be watchful, I must be thankful as they pray for that person. Faithfulness is not a matter of just, I prayed for him today, I'll come back to him next year or next month. It's daily, daily, daily pray. Moms and dads, do you pray for your kids every day? I try, I don't always do it. Husbands, do you pray for your spouse every day? Spouses, do you pray for your wife? Wife, do you pray for your husband every day? pray for an opportunity. Pray for an opportunity to minister the Word of God. Encourage them in the Word of God. Pray for an opportunity to minister to others. Real quick, pray for clarity. If God gives you opportunity, pray for clarity. What do I say? God says, I'll tell you. I'll tell you. Verse 4. That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Why on earth would Paul, this seasoned missionary, this seasoned preacher, this writer of God's Word, why would he be asking? He was an educated man. Why would he be asking that he would have clarity in how he would proclaim the Word? Because he knew himself. And he knew that if he got in the way, he would complicate things. He would confuse things. Are we any different? We oftentimes come in from the flip side. I don't know anything. Right? I'm scared to death. If you give me an opportunity, Lord, I don't know what to say. He's like, good, I'll tell you. Pray for opportunity. Pray for clarity. Lord, when you give me an opportunity, I'm going to trust you that you're going to show me. You're going to speak through me. I just want to be a vessel. I just want to be a mouthpiece. I'm going to open my mouth, and Lord, I'm going to trust you that you're going to fill it. You ever pray that way? I pray that way most Sundays. What do I have to tell you guys? God has much. I have little. Pray for an opportunity. Pray for clarity. Be faithful. Be watchful. Be thankful. And trust God to use you as an instrument in His loving, gracious hands, that He would powerfully and mightily use you for His honor and for His glory, moving you in His cause, using you to impact souls for Christ, impact your family, impact your wife, impact your employees, your everybody that you come into contact with. Pray that God would use you to impact them for eternity, not just being a blessing in this world, but being a blessing in the next world, in heaven. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. Oh, how we need you. We need your help. We need your grace. We thank you, Lord, that your grace is all sufficient. We thank you, Lord, that you desire to use us and work in us and grow us and teach us. We thank you that, Lord, you desire to use us to impact another soul for eternity. And what an amazing privilege, what an amazing responsibility. Lord, please guide us as we go from here. Please change us. Please grow us. Work in us in a very special way. Lord, help us to be humble and teachable before you. Help us to be diligent in your word, knowing who you are. And Lord, when it comes to praying, help us, Lord, to be ever so faithful, ever so watchful, ever so thankful. Go before us now, we pray, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.